Did you look in his citation book?
Yeah. Last vehicle he rode in was a tan Sierra at 2:18 a.m. Under a plate number, he put DLR. I figured they stopped him or shot him before he could finish filling out the tag number.
Uh-huh.
So I got the state looking for a Sierra with a tag starting DLR. They don't got no match yet.
I'm not sure that I agree with you 100% on your police work there, Lou.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think that vehicle there probably had dealer plates. DLR.
Oh. Jeez.
Say, Lou. Did you hear the one about the guy couldn't afford personalized plates, so he went and changed his name to J3L2404?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I am the walrus.
That's a... Shut the fuck up, Donnie!
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Do something about this immediately! 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 Harum! 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 Harum!
What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
Doga! 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 Doga!
Listening to Cinema Thrust Officer.
Welcome to episode 115 of Cinema Crespedito. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. How's it going? Get an extra one of those for me. I appreciate it. I appreciate it, me, because I'm the one behind the buttons. Welcome to another episode. Thank you for downloading. We appreciate it. If you're listening on iTunes, don't forget to rate us and review us. Stitcher, I think it has something similar. I don't know. If you just go straight to chriscrespo.com, very cool of you. Hey, check out the other reviews while we're there and other stuff I have put up there. With me, as always, is Drusa Cogburn. Drew.
What up, bro? How's it going?
How's it going, Mayan?
Another week in paradise, I guess.
Is this paradise? Yeah, it's paradise.
Are we dead? Have we finally made it to paradise?
Oh, are we dead? Oh, is that paradise?
Yeah, well, that's, yes.
Eternal nothingness?
Technically, that is paradise.
Eternal oblivion?
Yes. Very much looking forward to all of the nothing.
Well, in that case, depending on how you look on the world of podcasting, yes, this is a world of nothing.
Sweet.
So we are in oblivion? Anyway, yeah. Yeah, Drew, we're dead.
Awesome.
You're dead. Dead with us. Special guest, our third time on the show, I think.
Yes.
Yes, awesome. From Answer Pants on Rampant Radio. Check out rampantradio.com. We have Etchy.
Hey, I love it every time I come here.
Hey, we love having you on, man.
Well, I mean, you know, I just got here, so you don't know, but I'm assuming.
Let me get this set up. All right, there you go. Got so many moving parts here. So how you doing, man? Doing good?
I'm doing awesome.
Yeah, how's the show going?
It just gets better and better.
Yeah, always. I mean, I don't look always
at
the, a fun time over
I
here.
I was going to say, I don't look at the numbers, so I don't know if it's better in that respect, but it's. I feel like every episode we're doing better.
You're
better.
Feeling better, more enjoyable.
Yeah, yeah. And we click better. We, you know.
And what are you up to now? 100 and almost 200?
Almost 200. We're up to 195.
God damn.
Well, 194. 195 is going to be. And actually, we're not having a show tomorrow.
No show tomorrow.
No.
Exclusive. Cinema Crespo Music exclusive.
That's true. I have not even said anything on Twitter yet.
There you go.
Mostly because I forgot.
Sweet. So a couple people are going to be trying to tune in because it's a live show. You can listen live every Monday night.
Ivan is on a cruise.
That's right.
A very well-deserved cruise.
That's right.
That guy runs himself Instagram. Into the ground.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Ivan. Relax, buddy. Yeah. Have a good time once in a while, which is obviously
what he's doing. He needs to share my life of not doing anything.
That is the life. That is life. All right. Well, we got a lot going on in this show. We have a new Billy D set to the movies. Got a question on Facebook. Got a handful of movie review haikus from Rage Against Twit.
Very nice.
That's going to be fun. Got a another second week in a row. User. Scratch that. Rewind it. Go back. Listener submitted game for Drusa Cogburn versus the world. Drew, you're only our second guest for this year. Drew is 1-0 so far. The guests are now going to start rolling in now that we're settled into the new studio. Spring is in the air.
Or so you say.
Oh, no. Yeah, because I'll go ahead and let people know right now. We got Etchy right now.
Yes.
Next weekend, we'll have Black Hasselhoff from Forget That Yo. Weekend after that, fellow Enterpants show show member Chico will be on in a couple weeks. After that's Florida Film Festival, so might not have a guest for the first one. But then I'm hoping, knock on wood, for the film festival wrap up episode, we'll have Aaron Weiss back on from CinemaFunk.com.
I actually talked to Chico like a couple of days ago.
Oh yeah,
and I told him I'm going to be on Crespo Dizzo on Sunday, and apparently like you had asked him, you know?
Yeah.
And so I go, yeah, I'm going to be on Crespo Dizzo Sunday, and he goes, ha ha, sloppy seconds.
I was asking everyone. If you only knew sloppy tense action like that.
I don't doubt it. We knew that too.
Yeah, Chris is kind of slutty when it comes to that.
No, I got my list of people and I've been like just trying to book guests now.
Yeah. Oh,
because we haven't had anyone in here since episode 104 with Tom the Beer Guy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's been a while. So I'm now like, I want to get it done and I want to be planned well in advance because it's tough when I'm like, in touch with someone on a Friday. Hey, what are you doing in 2 days?
It's very rare that, you know, the first person that you ask that you want on just
like,
goes,
oh, yeah.
And you're like, oh, it's great. You know, I mean,
perfect.
You're not David Letterman. You know what I mean? Like,
it's like, let me see what I can fit you into my schedule is more like it. So we really appreciate you fitting us into your wonderful schedule. Yeah,
absolutely.
Dude. Seriously. Yeah, so we got all that going on in the second half, plus movie news, lightning round, stuff like that. New movies to talk about this week coming out. We got two movie reviews. Drew and I saw a documentary in theaters that we'll talk about, as well as that Sean Penn movie. We'll talk a bit about that.
So awful.
But before we do any of that stuff,
it's good to see him again, though.
It is nice to see him and his biceps. Let me just. We'll talk about that in a few minutes.
His pecs and his lats.
And his pecs. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Before we do that, it's time for a Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. For the entertainment that you see,
it's time
for the
Netflix
pick of the week. The Netflix instant pick of the week. All right, here we go. Netflix instant pick of the week time. You can check out this week's Netflix instant pick of the week, as well as all past picks of the week at chriscrespo.com. Juicy Cogburn gives us a thumbs up. Etchy pulled it out of the Crespo Dizzo Randomizer 9000. Please, if you will, sir. Please tell us, what is this week?
What is that? Oh, it's just a stylus.
No.
No?
It's my space pen.
Space pen.
It's the one that the astronauts use.
Oh.
It's got the pressurized ink cartridge on the inside, so you can write upside down, and it writes on grease and underwater.
Wow.
Yeah. Space pen.
That's awesome.
And it's only like $15 on my
desk. I was staring at it earlier like, wow.
What the hell is that? Because it's like keeping it in my case.
Yeah.
In my moon case. Look, see?
It looks like an electronics case. Actually, you know what it looks like? Like a battery case.
Oh, you know what? Here. Give me some reading material for during the break. I'll tell you all about the pressurized space pen.
I definitely have to. This is interesting.
You will find that very interesting.
$15.
Something like that. I got it for Christmas.
I don't even write, and I'm going to buy that.
It's got good weight, good heft to it. Anyway, here we go. What is this week's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week, week? Etchy.
Total Recall.
Oh, all right. Can't go wrong with Total Recall. Now, the reason something like this is in the Crespo Dizzo Randomizer 9000, we've all seen Total Recall, the three of us. What? Making a face like no?
It's one of the classics that I have not seen.
See, well, there you go.
You
got to watch it. You know what? That's perfect for I want to do some bonus episodes in which some of our favorite guests that we have on, we find out the quote classic movies. Like, you know, like I just assumed we all saw Total Recall. I'm like, no,
well,
I haven't.
It's a good assumption.
Right, it is. It's one of those things where not everyone's seen The Godfather. You know, not everyone's seen, you know, certain quote classic movies. What I want to do is I want to find people like that. Like, what we'll do is one day we will get together, the three of us.
Mm-hmm.
We will sit down for about 15 minutes and we'll talk about your world pre Total Recall. And then we're going to sit down, we're going to watch it.
Talk about post
Total Recall. And then we'll sit down and then record another 15, 30 minutes, talk about what you thought about the movie after finally seeing it. And
Certain older action movies like that, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is more classic. It, you know, it's probably not this way, but. It's not even the effects. Some of it is like the acting paired with the effects. I watched RoboCop the other day.
The original?
So bad.
Well, it's cheesy. It's a B movie. It's called RoboCop.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the title.
But it was touted as a, like, I mean, it hit major, like, it was a big movie. It was a big...
Well, yeah, because it was a B movie made with like an A movie approach, kind of like Terminator.
Like a cast. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, he have to be one or the other. It was a major B movie. That doesn't even make sense. It was awful.
No, it's all about something like that. It's not that it's a major B movie. They treated it like it was an A movie.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, but the whole time they knew what they were making.
Great cast.
You know, they knew. It's like, oh, well, this is a movie about a cyborg, man.
Even the good actors in that were bad.
No, I think that movie was great. I still think RoboCop holds up. I love RoboCop.
The reason I saw it, it's on Netflix, I think.
Yeah, that one comes up and down
all
the time.
No, the new one, though.
Oh, yeah.
It might have been Amazon.
The 2014 one, yeah.
I have Netflix, Amazon, and Hulu.
Yeah, that's so what you got to do.
Sometimes I don't remember which one it was.
Because each one has all the movies.
I pick out movies so that on the main screen, I'll be working. Secondary display,
yep.
I'll have a movie on.
Mm-hmm.
And I specifically pick movies that I can, you know, kind of come back to or whatever.
Yeah, sure. I do it all the time.
Yeah, so that I can still get stuff done.
Yeah.
I chose the new RoboCop.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't stop looking at it. It wasn't amazing. But it was good.
Awful.
Compared to what I expected it to be, god awful.
I loved the opening scene.
Yeah.
There were suicide bombing the Ed-209s and the whatever random middle-eastern foreign country. I love that scene, and I love the scene where they revealed the RoboCop, the dude's like, when they took away his body,
mm-hmm.
and it was just like his lungs were in the sack.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just the main organs. That was like some David Cronenberg shit. I loved that scene.
Yeah, yeah.
But then the rest of the movie was like, it was just so boring.
It's not that. It's that I was trying to pick out a movie that I didn't have to pay attention to.
Oh, yeah,
that is a low bar.
That is the epitome. You do not have to pay attention to that movie at all.
And that's where I was going, crap, why am I paying attention to this? It was way, way better than I expected.
Oh, well, I guess.
No.
Yeah, it's...
No.
It didn't hold up for you.
And I think it was...
The original didn't hold up for you.
I even wrote in the comments, I'm like, I think you guys saw this when it came out in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
And you're romanticizing it because watch it again. I'm sorry, it's crap.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's considering the time period, because you also have to watch a movie through the lens of time. Considering the time period
absolutely.
When it was made, the budget that they had, the effects of the time, I think it's pretty fucking great.
Yeah.
I gotta say. And I watch it. I watched it recently. It's more than just me. I've seen it once in 89. And
did you? Yes, yes, just the thing. I
got that Criterion DVD, yo.
Oh,
it
really?
It was actually one of the first Criterion. It's like number, because Criterion, they number their releases. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it's like less than 20. It's one of the first ones they did. And I think it's mostly because they had the X-rated, more violent version. So like, hey, let's go ahead and put this out there. Mm-hmm. So people can see, because everyone's used to the R-rated version.
Only Criterion I have is... Fear and Loathing. My very favorite movie.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
That's a great
did
one.
Did horrible in theaters.
It did. Total bomb.
Yeah.
It was gone after like just a few weeks.
Of course, so did Fight Club. But
that Fight Club, the executive that greenlit Fight Club got fired.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's how bad that movie did. That's how much it underperformed.
They should bring him back.
They should open a whole wing to their building and name it after that guy.
You always got
to
know what happens just because like those people, they're like pro sports coaches, you know what I mean? Like they get fired all the time, but then they come back on another team. Like,
they go work for someone
else. He's
still
in the game.
Yeah, that always happens. So this week's Pick Total Recall, you've never seen it. I don't know, Denny, if you would like it. It's the same director as RoboCop, Paul Verhoeven, who also did Starship Troopers, UDX Starship Troopers.
And Arnold can't act in the movie.
Starship
Troopers. Yeah, I mean, Arnold's Arnold. He's acting as best as Arnold can act. Yeah.
Starship Troopers, amazing.
Yeah, okay.
I love Starship Troopers. And I think it was, well, RoboCop was serious. Like, it wasn't like, you know, a wink like to the audience, like, this is stupid.
Starship Troopers is more winky.
It was very, this is hilarious.
Much more
and it was.
Much more open about its satire than RoboCop was. Yeah.
Great pinball table, too.
The pinball. Well, Total Recall is like in the middle of. Between those two, because it's a crazy sci-fi movie, crazy story, but it's still, you know, it's done seriously for the most part, but there's still jokes here and there. It has its humor to it.
Guado is the most ridiculous thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know about Guado, right? The little creature dude that comes out of the guy's stomach, and he's like, wait, you gotta even know about that guy in pop culture, no?
Like, that sounds like, I'm thinking I can't get Alien out of my head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the popping out of the stomach.
Yeah,
thing.
Well, it's more like Siamese twin. Dude, like it's growing out of him.
He is his stomach. There's like an extra person there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's weird looking, man. Just for stuff like that, just for the weird special effects and the weird designs, because it's all about a bunch of people who live on Mars. But
and the triple tits, don't forget about the triple
there's
tits.
Like the woman with three tits. You gotta know about the woman with three tits. Everyone knows about the woman with three tits.
Yeah.
But because of the poor materials used to make the domes that everyone lives in, the radiation seeps in, and all the poor people that can't live in the better places, they're all mutated and shit.
Yeah.
Did you watch Breaking Bad?
I have seen the first and second season.
Hank, DEA agent Hank, the brother-in-law, he's one of the mutant guys.
Love that guy.
Half his face is like covered with the sheen of a... He's also in Starship Troopers. I guess him and Paul Verhoeven have a little thing going there.
Man, now I got to check to see if he's in RoboCop. He's
not a
RoboCop.
And one of the...
Maybe as an extra.
And Jake Busey, which I love how you can identify from the teeth. Like any time. You're like, oh, there's a Busey.
The Busey. The famous Busey teeth.
Yeah.
For sure. Total Recall's a crazy movie. It's got a lot going for it. And the reason I bring it up is because I assume we did. Most people our age have seen this movie a bunch of times. But there's a lot of people that listen that are younger than us. And they need to know to go back, hey, that movie with Colin Farrell from a year or two ago.
Pretty awful.
That was a remake of another movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger that's way more fun. You should check that one out as opposed to, I mean, that was just boring.
Yeah.
Boring, boring, boring. Also, PG-13, neutered, pizza. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas Total Recall is R-rated, triple tits girl, all that stuff. You know, super violent, mega violent.
Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Whenever you see a movie, like, trailer for that, you know, and then it's like, rated PG-13, and you're like, okay, what did they do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's basically like, look at this big, like, monstrous dog. It's neutered.
Yeah.
It's the worst. Hold on, what?
The only movies that have managed to get away with that at all have been the Fast and Furious movies lately. Which they still managed, like in Fast and Furious 5, it's one in Brazil, where they kill hundreds of innocent people.
But there's no blood.
Not a drop of blood.
And they don't even really show the people dying, per se.
No, they're just digital creations that disappear. Like,
but do they do a good job of it, like to where you know what I mean? Like if you're just watching the movie, enjoying it, that you don't notice.
That's what I'm saying. The movie is so over the top and ridiculous. They're the only ones that get away with the PG-13 violence.
Yeah.
Because I hate PG-13 violence.
Well, because I mean, you know, if it's all dishonest explosions and stuff, then you don't have to show people blown apart. You can just...
Yeah, but then that's like... See, I think it's worse to show have a PG-13 movie level of violence where you don't see the blood, you don't see the gore, because then that's desensitizing violence. That's showing people, look, you can mow down a room of people with a machine gun and nothing happens. Whereas an R-rated movie, you see the consequences of violence.
Right.
Someone gets shot and you see the horrible aftermath, the blood and the gore.
That's what I'm saying. If you're going to have PG-13, don't have scenes where you should show blood, but you don't.
Yeah.
You know, if it's all explosions,
then
you don't even realize that you're missing it because there's no reason to see that.
But in the Fast and Furious movies, like tanks are rolling over cars on the highway that people are driving ostensibly. and you see the driver's side like crushed down totally underneath the tank. Like that random person is dead in this world, you know, or the movie before they're dragging around the safe and they're smashing through buildings and sidewalks full of people. Like all those people are dead.
Yes.
And we don't see... G.I. Joe, the first one, where they destroy the Eiffel Tower and it falls over.
So many people died.
So many. The missiles are flying down the street and blowing things up while they're running away in their suits.
So many battles released.
I actually did not get that far.
And G.I. Joe?
Yeah.
You know what? I actually like the first one more than I like the second one.
I didn't see either one, but I saw a little bit of the first one. But
the second one was so boring.
Why did they go with the newer one? Why not go with the classic G.I. Joe? That's what everybody loves.
Yeah, I don't know. The first one they tried going more of a cartoony, over the top.
Well, it was
fun G.I. Joe, and it was terrible. So the second one they tried to go more serious, and it was terrible.
But I mean, didn't they do? Wasn't there like a more modern G.I. Joe that had those type suits and all that kind of stuff? You know what I mean? Kind
of
like,
yeah, I mean, the Joes have been around since the 60s, so they've gone through many iterations of styles, and they have the more modern Joes. They've been doing those for a while.
Yeah, it's like an offshoot, though. You know what I mean? Like, there's still that classic,
to be honest, I don't know how you totally fuck up a G.I. Joe movie.
No.
But they kind of did.
All you needed was, like, you know.
Seems like the most simple thing.
Like army.
Bunch of guys in army get-ups and then have some fun.
And the characters that you're used to.
Just being boring as fuck is what they did. Drewster Cogburn, let's get into that box office recap. Were you able to find the documentary in the box office?
Number 29.
Number 29 on the box office chart. Here we go. We start.
It made $78,000.
$78,000.
For a grand total of just over $500,000.
Just over $500,000 for...
Red Army.
We saw a documentary actually called Red Army. That's about the...
It sounds familiar.
It's about the Soviets, USSR, and their hockey program. of the 70s and 80s.
Okay.
And how Team USSR dominated the world in hockey, and that was like their...
Well, not just Team USSR. Five guys basically dominated the world.
Well, hockey. Yeah. I mean, with support system, but five guys were like just the best teammates ever and just destroyed everyone that they played. They played NHL teams. They played other national teams. Killed everyone. And it's all about how
with AK-47s,
with AKs, and the KGB, and it's all about how the system trained these guys and brought them together, and then how they, the cost of working under a system that treats people as property, because that's, you know, that whole thing, because it's the Soviets, it's a socialism.
I was gonna say, did it kind of show how, like, basically maybe they were that good because, like, they were,
well, it showed everything, it like showed,
they, you know what I mean, like
it showed their training, how not only when the Soviet, when the USSR broke down, consequently, they kind of broke down too.
Yeah. Yeah, because they needed the money, and the government was willing to then let their star players leave the country to go play in the NHL, but only if a lot of that money got kicked back to the USSR government.
Yeah. Well, that, and also, these guys went to the NHL, and since they weren't playing their hockey,
that was interesting.
They
yeah.
didn't do well at all.
Yeah, because in the Soviet system, surprise, surprise, they emphasized teamwork. So it was all about the five people playing as a unit. And then these players individually go to different teams in the NHL where it's much more individualistic. People are much more looking out for themselves. And it's like they couldn't gel. And then one guy got the bright idea of, hey, let's
get them all together.
Let me trade for all these guys and put them on my one team. And then, oh, yeah, now look at this. Now we're dominating and winning Stanley Cups.
Let's win a Stanley Cup or two real quick.
Yeah.
I love that the communist country had the whole cooperation thing going down. Almost like, you know, like whoever the biggest star is, it's like, you know, it's communism. You still make same rubles.
Yeah,
you
know? That's the thing. That's the thing. Most of the movie is narrated and interviewed through this one guy. He was the team Fedosov. He was the team captain, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, everyone's like, he's the leader. He's the best. Blah blah. But when then he talked to him, he's like, it's a team. What are you talking about? We're a team.
Which realistically, that's how you're the best.
Yeah, and he 100% like, I mean, obviously indoctrinated with that shit since he was a child, but he 100% still bought into it, believed it, and maybe they were right. But then they also talk about how, for 11 months out of the year, they were forced to train for the next game, as if the next game was right around the corner. They were forced to constantly train, never go home. They can never see their family. The Soviet hockey team was part of the military. They were drafted into the military as players.
They were army soldiers.
Yeah, so the players were technically soldiers.
Kind of like when army and navy play each other in a football game.
Yeah, except that, except if the army then took their basketball team or whatever and then like thrust them out into the spotlight and try to make them the best basketball team in the world and to dominate all other teams, NBA teams and foreign country teams. Okay. Like intense, really intense. And then you can see how that could be a problem.
Well, yeah,
they take the military approach to a sports
team.
Because
your boss isn't some crazy rich owner who just wants to win. It's the government. Your boss is the Minister of Defense.
The Minister of Sports. Yeah, just the toughest people who don't give a shit about you.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a mixed bag for them. But, I mean, when this guy has all these accomplishments, and I interviewed most of them at the end, they all seem pretty happy.
Yeah.
As happy as Russians can seem.
And that was Red Army?
Yeah. Red Army. Because it's the Red Army Club is the name of the hockey organization.
Where did you see that? Was that NCN?
Winter Park.
Yep.
Winter Park Regal.
Yeah. Oh.
Does it say how many screens? I would guess like maybe 500 to 750 screens.
How about 84?
How about 84 screens throughout the country? You know, one of them just happens to be at Winter Park.
And they added 26 this week.
They added 26.
Do you know how
expansion?
I like that. I didn't realize the Regal and Winter Park was doing smaller movies. Yeah, like that
Regal, they do all the time.
The Regal Winter Park does small independent films all the time. I don't know how programming works for individual chain theaters like that, but whoever's doing it over there has been killing it for years. They show great movies over there.
Do you actually know how many? Quick little trivia here.
Okay.
How many theaters? Happiness was in when it came out.
Very close. At its height?
Very close to the 84.
50.
82.
82?
Yep.
Yeah, that's nothing.
That's why it clicked with me. I'm like, oh my God, that's two less theaters. And like two more theaters.
Yeah, and that's nothing compared to when something like Cinderella comes out like 3,500 screens.
Yeah.
You know?
Actually, Divergent right now is in 3,875 theaters.
And there you go.
That is insane. So, but Red Army, I really enjoyed it, Drew.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
definitely the best movie I saw this weekend.
Yeah, very, really good stuff. Very enjoyable. So if you can get a chance to see Red Army, I mean, obviously Redbox or Netflix or whatever, check it out for sure. All right, Drew, what's number five for the box office?
Coming number five this week, Kingsman: Colon, the Secret Service. Weekend gross to $4.6 million, total of $114.5 million on a budget of $81 million.
That Kingsman's a good movie.
It was good.
Yes. I mean, do you like spy movies, British spy movies?
I do.
James Bond movies?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then you'll like it. Because it's simultaneously an homage to that genre, as well as like a straight up, like a send up, like almost a spoof satire of it.
Yeah.
But they it's a fine line what they try to do between outright goofiness and then like over the top.
They really give
not so much seriousness, but like, you know.
It almost seems like they give the Lord Miller touch.
Yeah. Like, yeah, like a 21 Jump Street type of thing. Yeah.
It kind of reminds me when people went apeshit over Daniel Craig because they were like, "What they're changing?"
Oh,
it was very different. Which,
well,
not even blonde haired, but also like his style, and the way things went, it was different than in the past, but it was enough the same.
It was closer to the written James Bond, the Ian Fleming James Bond.
The rough around the edges, a little more of a brute and a meathead.
The blunt instrument James Bond, exactly. Yeah. It's more of an interpretation that has, I mean, for years we had these uber suave Pierce Brosnan. Timothy Dalton tried to do the hard edge James Bond
thing.
What
do you think of Brosnan?
As Bond?
Yeah.
I like him as Bond. Three of his four Bond movies are outright terrible.
Really? I'm guessing the good one is GoldenEye.
Yes. Okay. Everyone agrees.
Well, Sean Bean dies twice.
Sean Bean, if you have Sean Bean and he dies twice in your movie, that's like, you guys nailed it.
He dies in every movie, but to make him die twice.
Now it's to the point where he has to live to be surprising. Like, shit, he lived. Yeah. What? Yeah. Crazy. It's one where the bad guy is a newspaper magnate in Hong Kong. I mean, that tells you right there, the bad guy owned a newspaper. That's how you know that movie sucked. The one with Denise Richards playing a nuclear physicist named Christmas.
That's believable.
Christmas Jones or something. Yeah, that's right there. You know your movie's fucked. And then the Die Another Day was the closest one to being like GoldenEye, and it's still.
He did an amazing job in all four.
He's good.
I love him. As
he's so suave.
Even in something
so good.
Even in that shit movie we saw last year, The November Man, which was just the worst fucking movie. Yeah, he's fine in it because he's Pierce Brosnan.
Have you seen the one that he did, first of all? Never mind. Mm-hmm. This was after James Bond. He did one, I can't remember what it's called, but where he was a hitman and he was having a nervous breakdown.
Matador.
Yes.
Yes.
That's a good one.
I loved that movie.
Matador was great.
With him and Greg Kinnear.
Yeah.
And then Greg Kinnear, he teaches him how to be an assassin. And then he grows a mustache like Pierce Brosnan has.
In the middle of a shootout, he's like crying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Such a great movie.
It's a great movie. That's one of those like super underrated, no one knows about
movies. Oh, yeah. I remember seeing it in trailers and thought, that looks
terrible.
The trailer, though.
The trailer's
like, you're like, that's going to be.
It's a hard sell.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's a hard sell, but it was a good movie, for sure. Number four, Drew, what we got?
Number four movie, The Gunman, had a weekend gross of $5 million, same as the total budget unlisted.
$5 million opening weekend for The Gunman.
Five.
Oof, that's good. I'm sure the movie costs less than $20 million to make. Probably $15 million. And most of that probably went to Sean Penn and Javier Bardem.
Well, Sean Penn needs that HGH money, man.
Sean Penn is ripped. He's 50-year-old ripped.
No, he is not 50-year-old. He is 25-year-old ripped in a 50-man-year-old saggy face.
But does it look?
His face is saggy.
He
does
have old man
sag
face, yeah.
He doesn't have old man sag body, though.
Does it have that? I was going to say, it doesn't have that grossness.
Because
like Stallone, when you see him, he's still ripped. It's just dude.
It looks weird.
Get fat, man, please.
Sean Penn does not have that.
Okay.
And he gives you plenty of time to check it out, too, because he's rolling around. Every opportunity to get to take his shirt off in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, obviously, I mean, Stallone's way older than that, but still, you know.
Oh, yeah. Stallone's got like 15 years on Sean Penn, something like that. But, yeah, so we saw The Gunman, directed by the guy who did Taken.
Kind of wish I hadn't.
Could have been a Liam Neeson movie. Could have easily been Liam Neeson.
Could have been a better movie.
Could have been a much better movie. It could have been a worse movie, too, though. I feel like if the movie was worse, it might have been more entertaining.
Yeah, at least. Not so boring.
The movie, that's the problem. That's the problem with this movie, man. It's just boring.
Really boring.
Yeah. It is boring. I mean,
the action's not action-y enough. The drama isn't drama-y enough to tie me to want me to care about it.
And then watching the movie, it's like, why would Sean Penn make this his first action movie? Because it's his first straight-up action movie.
Is it? I hadn't thought about that, but you're right.
He's never done an action movie before. This is his first time with just like shooting guns and running around. And
I just like that he's back. you know.
Yeah, he needs to be doing more.
Last thing I saw him in was Milk.
Yeah, I think that was. And he was nominated. Did he win? I think he even won for being in that. He had a really small role in The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it was delightful to see him, but that movie was fucking garbage. But this one, it's like, you know, he's good. Yeah. Bardem's fine, although he doesn't seem to be trying that hard. That's the thing. The whole movie feels like no one's really trying that hard.
Yeah. The worst.
Yeah.
It doesn't even feel like the director's.
Actually, that's the second worst. The worst is trying too hard, but that is a close second.
Yeah. Yeah. They are 1A and 1B for sure. And yeah, everyone from the writing, the directing, everyone except Sean Penn's trainer and nutritionist.
Yeah.
You know, those guys were all on point. but everyone else was like
slacking.
Can we just like crank this out and be done with it? We got an excuse to hang out in Barcelona for a couple of weeks.
Sweet.
Barcelona, because most of it takes place in Spain. So you can see it. We're like, hey, I mean, we'll shoot a couple hours of this movie every day, then we'll go out, we'll get some tapas, and then we'll hang out in the streets until midnight, you know, 2 in the morning.
Do call it all Spain. Over again.
See the stadium where they had the Olympics.
Right, you know, do all that stuff. And then we'll just make a movie on the side and put it out for and maybe make a couple bucks. It's just not that good. Yeah. Would you even tell people to check it out?
Nope.
In any form, HBO?
Don't even bother.
Don't even bother. If you're changing channels and it's on TBS,
nah.
Just keep going.
There really aren't that. There are no redeeming qualities to the movie to warrant you to watch it.
There you go. I would say it's if you're sick. And it comes on the TV, and the remote's like on the other side of the room. Don't. Your energy. Get that remote. Just leave it on. You'll forget the movie anyway.
If you want to go to sleep.
If you want to go to sleep, there you go.
If you're sick and you just want to pass out, put on The Gunman, you'll be out in about 15, 20 minutes.
There you go.
I put on Lord of the Rings when I'm sick.
Yeah, that works too.
Well, that just helps pass the time. The extended editions.
Yep.
Yeah, you got like almost 15 hours of orcs.
Yeah, you're not going to run
goblins
out.
And. An elfin language. All right, Drew, where are we at? Number three?
Number three this week, Run All Night, made $5.1 million. Total of 19.7, budget of 50.
I feel like maybe Run All Night should have had Sean Penn and The Gunman should have Liam Neeson's.
I mean, they're both...
they're both pretty forgettable.
At least Run All Night had...
Ed Harris.
More action.
Yeah, not necessarily good action.
No.
Ed Harris is great. I love Ed Harris.
Had more action.
He's awesome.
Though.
It also had the guy from RoboCop, who played RoboCop.
Yeah.
Was in that Run All Night. We talked about Run All Night last week. It's,
exactly.
It's one of those ones where it's ambivalence, you know. It's not bad enough to be enjoyable. It's not good enough to be
enjoyable.
It's just like,
man,
so much energy wanted to make it something that's so middle of the road. Mm-hmm. It's incredible when that happens, really.
Coming to number two this week, Cinderella. Weekend gross of $34.5 million, total of 122.
Cinderella, Ella.
95.
Hello.
Is this the first weekend?
Second weekend.
It's, wow.
Yes. So much money.
Two weekends, almost 125 mil.
So much money.
Have you guys seen this?
No.
Okay. Because I was just going to say, like, if my wife wanted to see or something, I wanted to know how badly I would have to fight to get out of it, or if I should just, it's not bad, so then I could just cave.
If
you know?
She wants to go see it, go ahead. It's super well reviewed.
Okay.
It's no one doesn't like it. It's just not something that I want to see.
She wants to see the one with Angelina Jolie. I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, Maleficent?
Maleficent, yeah.
That was actually quite good.
Was it good?
Maleficent was okay.
I actually thought it would be good, but just
I'll tell you this. Angelina Jolie was having a really good time making that movie.
She was awesome. Jolie was great in that movie.
And she looked
for sure.
So happy to be so evil.
But, you know, Disney's now cranking out these live action versions of their fairy tale movies. They have Tim Burton doing the Dumbo movie.
Aristocats.
They're doing a Dumbo movie?
That's going to be a fun
Live action Aristocats?
Yes.
I'll see that.
Oh, Lord.
I want to see that live
action. But are they going to use animated or is it going to be like Milo Notice?
Rescuers Down Under. No, it's going to be live action.
Yeah, live action.
Nice,
Live action Rescuers, that'd be cool.
Yeah, see a Rescuers movie, right? All right, about a live action, they got to do a live action Lady and the Tramp.
Get Bob Newhart to do it again.
Live action Fox and the Hound.
Live action Fox and the Hound. Got to do a live action Song of the South. Ooh, yeah, that's that racist one. But they got the Zippity Doodah song in there.
Yeah.
Actually, half the movie is live action.
Well, they're doing Dumbo. I mean, the Jim Crows will be in it. That's not
racist.
Are
the Jim Crows
going to
be in Dumbo?
They better be.
Tim Burton's Dumbo.
They better be. They're an integral part of the story.
They really are.
I seen a horse fly. Oh, my God. Who let Al Jolson in here? You guys. So we haven't seen Cinderella, but it is well reviewed. So if she wants to go see it, you find yourself going along, I don't think you'll find it horrible. It's Kenneth Branagh's.
Yeah, it's Kenneth Branagh's Disney's Cinderella.
Yeah, so
yeah.
That guy knows.
It's Kenneth Branagh.
Kind of knows what he's doing. You got to look for links between that and the first Thor movie, Kenneth Branagh's Thor.
I wouldn't trust the reviews. It's Disney. It's a classic. I mean, you know, a take on a classic or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be well reviewed. You know what I mean? Like, if they say it's, a lot of times with those types of movies, if they say it's 5 stars, it's 3 stars. If they say it's 4 stars, it's 2. You know what I mean? Like, they just, it's.
It's not going to be bad.
Groupthink?
Disney's familiar with the property. They've been dealing with it for the last, 50 years?
Yeah, but it's not like Disney doesn't make shit or they don't make movies that aren't well reviewed.
No, but when it comes to these movies, I would think they would be doing it correctly.
It's more in their wheelhouse.
Yeah.
They've been doing it since, the 30s?
Exactly.
They have a template.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to see it.
No, of course not. Coming number one this week, another movie that I'm not going to see. The Divergent series, Insurgent.
Dead Virgin series?
Yes, the Dead Virgin series. The Dead Virgin series? What? We can gross $54 million, same as the total budget of $110.
How much did it make again?
55.
55. Opening 50. What, budget of $110? It'll top out around 20. This is one of those ones where international is going to make it, you know, a few hundred million dollars internationally. Oh, yeah. Insurgent. Did you ever see Divergent?
No.
The first one I saw Divergent on, like, it eventually came out on HBO.
Oh, you've seen it?
I'm pretty sure I've seen the whole movie. It's just I've only seen it, like, I put it on HBO and it's at a certain part, mm-hmm. and then just leave it on and I watch it. And then I turn it on HBO another time and it's like earlier in the movie. Mm-hmm. So I watch it until I get to the part that I was at. So I've seen it in bits and pieces out of order.
I hate that.
That being said, I'm pretty sure I know what happens in that movie and I'm pretty sure it makes no fucking sense whatsoever. even if I saw the movie in all in order, I'm pretty sure it still would have made no sense. And then watching these trailers for Insurgent, the trailers make no fucking sense whatsoever. Yeah. Like I don't know what's supposed to be happening, what's going on. And I have a feeling if I saw this movie, I wouldn't understand it either.
Every once in a while, somebody that edits a trailer kind of goes a little bit far. Like they're trying to be intriguing and they go a little bit far off to where to people that watch land. It go, yeah, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're trying to sell me on here.
Yeah.
With Insurgent, it's just like a lot of slow motion and things breaking and people running around with guns and a lot of talk about factions and abnegation. And I'm like, what is gonna,
yeah. And if you nail that in a trailer, the trailers for Inception,
Great trailers.
You really didn't have any idea what it was about. Yeah. I mean, you can't explain Inception, the entire idea.
It's a dream within a dream.
In a dream. They didn't even bother going with that.
It all could have been within a dream the whole time.
Could all have been one dream. They didn't know.
Fuck.
How do you sell that? That Inception trailer was so good, it changed the way trailers were made for years.
Yeah.
And so to a point where it got unfortunate, and every trailer was just going, wah! Yeah. Or they would do a version of that where it's like even just a piano going, boo, doo. They still have some sort of, you know.
Yeah, but like, I mean, that's the problem. It's not necessarily going to work. The reason that works so well is you literally have buildings like falling apart in a really weird way, and you have Leo, and you're like, done.
Yeah, he had all the elements that you needed for sure.
It could have been a 2-second trailer.
Yeah.
It'd be like, buildings falling apart and Leo.
Oh, this is
when
right,
does that when does that it. Come out? Yeah.
And then you do the same thing with other movies, and you're like, I don't want to see this.
Yeah.
The Huntsman. What is that one? Snow White and the Huntsman.
Oh, yeah.
Another one of those fairy tale live action things. They're doing a sequel to that, Huntsman 2. Or is it a prequel? It's a prequel.
Does Thor finally find Mjolnir in this one?
I hope so. And then loses him and then loses his memory and then forgets his store and then goes and pretends he's a huntsman.
Uh-huh.
And then goes into a dream, to a dream, to a dream.
A dream. Exactly. And then he rides a kick out of there. So that was the number one movie of the weekend, huh?
And then Insurgent. He wakes up inside Black Hat. It's all just a dream.
Inside Black Hat.
It's all just a dream.
Oh, that movie was so boring. New movies coming out on DVD this week. We have The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies, only 4 armies show up, ".
Hey, you finally get to see this thing.
I guess.
I got to finish. It's the only one I haven't seen.
Not only that,
the only one I never saw in theaters.
You know how it ends?
Armies.
Lord of the Rings trilogy.
You know how it ends? How does that movie end?
It's not as good as Lord of the Rings, but...
Not even close.
No, it's not, but it's still really good.
Nah.
No, it's not.
I like it.
They're boring. Boring.
I will have to say, it might be because I'm clinging too hard to the Tolkien world. You know what I mean?
Possible. You want to live in that world so bad?
I want...
I mean, that world's awesome.
You
want to
be a hobbit?
I want to view that world. I don't want to live in it. I can't view that.
But you want to be a part of it as often as possible.
I have a feeling that this is what happens when you take... When you make a prequel trilogy to an already awesome trilogy.
Right.
It happened with Star Wars.
Yep.
It happened with Lord
of
the Rings.
Well, this is different, though, because it was actually written.
It's not that different. You have an awesome... They could have made a 1-2-hour Hobbit movie that people would have probably gone to see.
Oh, that,
And would have enjoyed.
Yeah,
as opposed to breaking it up into three 3-hour movies, making it this 9-hour epic where... Dwarves are singing in dwarven languages for literally 20 minutes.
Yeah. About
nobody fucking cares.
Well, the reason is that there's a difference, though. The Star Wars prequel was literally fabricated. Like, it was written out of you know what I'm saying? Whereas at least The Hobbit...
There's no way they can turn that Hobbit book into 9 hours. Somebody fabricated something.
Yeah,
they did.
It's a 300-page children's book.
A lot of that comes from...
other books.
It was the...
The Cimarron. Tolkien wrote
something that...
He has supplemental material that's like side stories.
And they were able to license it so that they... put that in there.
Yes.
That
was a horrible decision.
It was
an awful trilogy prequel.
And we haven't even seen the third one.
No.
Calling the whole thing awful.
I could have done the same thing with Star Wars, but
it's not like
I saw them all, unfortunately.
And it's not like anyone has told us or gotten in touch with us. I'm like, hey, I saw that Hobbit Battle of the Five Armies. It was great.
Yeah.
It was much better than the other two.
No one has said that.
You guys should go see it. I've gotten the exact opposite. I got people saying it was underwhelming as fuck. So, Battle of the Five Armies. Only four of them show up. Just think about that for a second. There. Into the Woods comes out on DVD. Into the Woods musical. You like musicals at all, Etchy?
No,
I don't like musicals.
I can't. It's the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing when you're telling a story. Because right when I get into if the acting's good and everything, assuming it's a good story, good acting, all that kind of stuff, you know, and I'm going, oh wow, this is really good.
As soon as they
break in a song, I'm like, fuck you,
yeah.
Because you broke me from that story.
Yeah, you pulled me out of it. And then I don't like ones where something like Les Mis, where all the dialogue is singing. And then I'm trying to listen to the singing. Like, what's he saying?
That's why I didn't see it.
Is this important?
Yeah.
I've seen Les Mis on Broadway.
Have you?
Yeah, fantastic show. It's a wonderful show. I love it. Saw the movie, and I was like...
But seeing it in person is a whole different...
whole different experience.
Thing. I mean, now you're looking
it's a performance. I can go to a musical in a theater and appreciate that. But if you ask me to watch one as a movie form...
I saw Chicago. I hated it.
Oh, the movie Chicago?
Oh, yeah. And so many people. Everybody loves it. Oh, it's amazing.
Academy Award nominee.
The Academy sucks. But,
And finally, coming out on DVD, speaking of the Academy, Unbroken, which got no love from the Academy this year. Angelina Jolie's directed film about the that guy who was a prisoner of war. He was an Olympian and then a prisoner of war. First he was a ruffian. Then he was an Olympian. Then he was stranded at sea for like 3 months. Survived that. Then he became a prisoner of war. Survived that.
Was he retarded? Because it sounds like Forrest Gump.
No,
just because he did so much?
No, it's the opposite of Forrest Gump. Because Forrest Gump actually doesn't do anything. He's just in a bunch of situations and things happen around him. This guy was making shit happen. It's actually a pretty good movie. I liked it. I thought Unbroken was good. Did you see that one, Drew?
Nope.
No, it's worth checking out. What's come out in theaters, dude?
The new Will Ferrell, Kevin Hart movie, Get Hard.
Every time I see the name of it, I imagine that's Will Ferrell's name is like... Jerry Gathard, and it's not—it's one word, Gathard.
Yep,
but it's actually Gathard.
It looks like it's going to be awful.
I've been hearing a lot of, reading some stuff about how the movie is kind of racist and homophobic. A lot of gay panic.
I could see both of those things.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing that from my own eyes, seeing how these two guys can make something like that in 2015. Well, it's come out.
That movie, that new sci-fi thing, Home. That comes out.
Oh, a new DreamWorks movie.
DreamWorks.
Yeah. Is there another... What's
is it animated?
Yeah, animated film. What's the most recent family movie that's come out in theaters? It's been a little while since we've had a family movie, right? A few weeks?
Yeah, but we had a run of them
for a while. Cinderella. What were we talking about? Cinderella. Yeah,
Cinderella's still making money.
That's a family
movie. Is that PG?
Yeah, oh yeah. At the most.
Yeah.
At the most, I would think. Was Maleficent PG-13? That one might have been because of the dragon. No, I think that was still PG. Maleficent. I don't know. There was also that rape allegory in Maleficent. Yeah. Did you see Maleficent?
No.
There's a part where early on, an old childhood friend of hers drugs her, and she passes out, and then she wakes up, and her wings are cut off, and then she wakes up like, oh, screaming horribly. Mm. And, 100% rape metaphor thing.
You know? Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Very, very off-putting.
Yeah.
So I should say. Also, this weekend, hopefully we'll get to see It Follows, because it had a major successful opening weekend. It only played in like 3 theaters in New York and 1 in L.A., and it made a shit ton of money. So they're going to expand it to 1,000 theaters this weekend. So check out the trailer for It Follows. It's an awesome trailer. A lot of fun. Looked cool-looking horror film.
Hmm.
Cool-looking horror film. Definitely check it out. All right, let's take a quick break here. Crespo Disco time. I got a couple songs for your pleasure. One from Inside Llewyn Davis, 500 Miles. The other one from Pulp Fiction, If Love Is a Red Dress. We're going to be back. Got a lot to do. A lot to talk about. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Born.
All right. Oh, Drew bringing it. I like it. Excellent. Here we go.
If you miss the train, once we were home. now we are full. These times that bind us can't be these chains. If love is shelter, I'm gonna walk in.
All right, it's time for the second half of episode 115 of Cinema Crespo. I am still Chris Crespo, hanging out with Juicy Cogburn and Drew.
What up?
And Etchy from Answer Fans.
Hey, yo.
How you guys doing?
Doing awesome.
Had a little,
you doing?
Doing.
doing.
Had a little vape break.
Yeah.
A V break.
Sure.
You're Drew, on the, day one.
You guys are all vaped up.
When you say V-break, I'm thinking something else.
I'm thinking that V-break, yo. La, 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 la.
Exactly.
Alrighty, that's what this show has become. We're desperate for listeners now. Do anything we can to get them to listen. Let's get the plugs out of the way. ChrisCrespo.com. You can go there for back episodes of Cinema Crespediso. You can do a search there on the front for any movie, and any movie that I wrote about will pop up. Any movie that we talked about on a show, those episodes will pop up. So go ahead and check those out. Hit me up on Twitter at IamChrisCrespo. Hit up the show on Twitter at Crespediso and on Facebook at Cinema Crespediso. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero419 all over the internet.
Antihero419. Follow the guy. Etchy, where can people find you online?
Yeah, you can find me at Etchy on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Etchy on Facebook.
On the Facebook. And answer_pants.
Yes.
Right?
On Twitter. And yes. You can also find rampantradio.com. That's where the live shows are. Straight on the main page, too. Whenever we're running live, you just go straight to the website. And it's going.
Make it super convenient. Also on video, too, so you can watch these guys.
Yep.
You can watch these guys sit there and stare at each other as they talk.
Yeah, we're on YouTube now. Yeah.
Yeah, YouTube. Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Which I don't know why we didn't do that sooner. I mean, we already do video. The only difference is that we upload it to YouTube.
Yeah. I don't know. YouTube's gotten it's changing over the years. Now they're getting ready to roll out that subscription service.
Yeah, I heard about that. I don't think that's going to... I don't know.
I don't know. People hate those ads. People hate fucking ads.
Oh, it'll get rid of all the ads for everything?
I think so. I think if you pay the $7.99, $8.99 a month, ads are gone. And then the ads will then be on the free version, which I'm sure 85% of YouTube users are going to use.
That's a good idea then, because it's not like there's much development going into that. You just don't play the ads, so you're getting revenue from like minimal work.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
I like that.
Geniuses. Okay, let's see. Where do we want to start here? Let's go ahead, Drew, and start with Billy D's Death of the Movies. Here we go.
What's up, my dude?
What's up, Billy D? This is from Billy D, our New York City show correspondent and senior horror film aficionado.
The endless winter soldiers on into spring. It's still snowing, but on the bright side, I'm officially on spring break. Let the spring of Billy D begin.
Snowing during spring break
in
Brooklyn, New York.
Uh-huh.
How do you like that?
I like that.
That's why we live in Florida.
Makes me think those model shoots where they're like in bikinis covered, like and there's snow everywhere.
Yeah.
Love it.
Good times.
Last night, my girl went to a screening of Alien with some friends, so I seized the opportunity to watch another sci-fi film from 1979 that has been staring me in the face for a while now. The joint Italian-American film, The Visitor.
The Visitor. Not to be confused with The Visitor, starring Richard Jenkins.
Re-released uncut by Drafthouse Films in 2013, I wish I could say it was worth passing on seeing Alien again. It's a cinematic oddity and endurance test considering its 108-minute runtime.
Mm.
Starring a bewildered John Huston and an equally confused Lance Henriksen, The Visitor falls short of its batshit mother-of-all-drive-in oddities reputation. Seriously, the movie starts awesome with crazy otherworldly visuals and fantasy elements, then beams through the cosmos to Atlanta and stays there in Atlanta. And proceeds to tell the plots of The Bad Seed, The Exorcist, and a little bit of Close Encounters as filtered through the cocaine and acid-fueled brains of the filmmakers. I watched it on Amazon. You can avoid it on Amazon. Stay cool, Billy D.
There you go. What was the name of it again?
The Visitor.
The Visitor. Stay away from old Italian horror film The Visitor on Amazon, apparently.
Correct.
Oh, that's what Billy's good for. He lets us know which ones. Mm-hmm. He sacrifices his time so we don't have to sacrifice ours.
Now, do you have Amazon?
I have access to an Amazon Prime account. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. No, I just wondered because, like, I have Amazon, but it's because I have a...
I never use it, though.
I have Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
So, like, it just comes with it.
Right.
And I do use it because, you know, I have it, and a lot of times, you know, if something's not on Netflix, you check it on Amazon.
It could be there, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I should use it more. I gotta get that reset up.
There needs to be an app where you can check boxes for all the services that you have. Because, you know, I have three.
An aggregator of some sort?
Yeah, and literally like, just be like, Total Recall.
What was it, a Kayak?
And see, what, you know, if, you know, it'll tell you, you have it on this service. You
actually
know?
I have seen a website that does that.
Really?
Yeah, and I didn't bookmark it. This was forever ago, but I do remember seeing a website that had a list of all these movies, and then it had a chart next to it, and certain things were checked off, and one column was Netflix, one was Amazon, one was Hulu, and it will let you know where, if it was available, where it was available.
Yeah.
I totally forgot.
the only use that I think Amazon holds, if you're thinking about getting an Amazon account, which is for Netflix, if Netflix doesn't have a movie and I really want to see the movie, I'll check Amazon as a backup.
Yep.
For TV shows, if Hulu doesn't have a TV show, I check Amazon as a backup.
Right.
Or if, of course, if Amazon happens to have it also, Amazon doesn't have commercials.
Yeah, that's
and
what
Hulu
also,
does.
Hulu has commercials.
Right.
Which is annoying, even if you do their pay service. You still got to sit through fucking commercials.
Yeah.
And that makes no sense.
I think it does. I was pissed at first, and that's actually why I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. And then I realized, you know what I think it is?
What?
They have, for a lot of shows, not all of them, but a lot of shows, you know, like the next day they will have that new episode.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure the only reason they're able to do that is because the broadcast companies are saying like, no, you need commercials.
You still need commercials.
You need to show that. We are the ones that made it. You need this whole thing. Otherwise, we're not giving it to you. This content is too new.
Yeah, I don't know. It's still the Wild West when it comes to streaming content and licensing and stuff like that. They're still trying to figure that out. We'll see. We'll see how it evolves. Within 5-10 years from now, I'm sure there will be something where you put up on your phone. It's like, oh, I want to watch this movie. Oh, it's available on this service. And then you just click your button, and it takes you right to that service.
See,
and, you
know, exactly.
All that stuff
needs
coming.
To be done.
I don't know. The only way that could happen is some third party would have to have access to each company's database.
I don't think so, because they could literally, like, if it goes, it's on Netflix, click here, and you click it, they can put a link to that exact movie. It's just if you don't have that service, the link won't work, or it'll say, like, you know, it'll try to make you sign in.
But like,
whereas
I said,
if you are already signed in, I think it'll play that page.
But whatever service would
I could be wrong.
They would have to have access to each of these separate companies' databases.
So to be able to search it.
Yes.
That's just writing a search program.
Can't you search it even if you don't have, like, if you go to, I think you cannot with Hulu for some reason.
I think on Netflix you have to be a member to be able to search.
Yeah, really?
You can't even log into the service unless you're a member.
Yeah.
See, that's ridiculous. I mean, wouldn't you get more customers if I want to go on Netflix.
Show them what's available.
Yeah, like, hey, I want to make sure, you know, your selection isn't bullshit.
You would think so.
Yeah.
You would think so. But hey, their stock keeps going up, so
yeah.
Who are we to tell them that they're doing it wrong? You can hit us up with your own mini movie reviews, questions, topics, etc. on Facebook at Cinema Crespediso, on Twitter at Crespediso, or email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. Got hit up on Facebook by Jerry Mikowski. Also goes by Jerry Sues on Twitter. Do you and Drew... And welcome to you, Etchies. Don't worry about that. Do you and Drew think some movies should not be remade? If so, which ones?
The only reason I can think of for a movie not, like, why they shouldn't be remade is if they're going to, you know, it's going to be shit. Which some things...
How do you know you're making shit, though? Everyone thinks they're making a good movie when they start making their movie.
Of course. But, I mean, that's the only reason. I can't stand it when people do the whole thing of, like, oh, that, like you're, you know, shitting on their childhood.
Yeah.
That should never be remade.
My child.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? It's not yours.
Yeah, it's everyone's.
Yeah.
And it's not even your childhood. It's a movie.
And
you
if
should
it,
relax.
And if it comes out, it's kind of like also, like, you know, when comic book movies come out and comic nerds are like, that's incorrect. You know, and you're like, nobody gives a shit, dude. Shut up.
Yeah.
You know?
It's all opinions.
You have to look at it.
Now, some people's opinions can be wrong, but still. It's
of course.
All,
but it, as a fan of something, instead of saying, no, you can't do this. This can't be made. This is wrong. What you do is you make it more interesting. You make the world that you love more full. You can hate the movie and say the movie sucks, but when a movie does something wildly different, that's when you bring out like a fun fact. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, oh yeah, in the movie X-Men, this happened, this happened. But actually, in the comic book, this happened and this happened. Now you've got more trivia, and when you're deep into something, what do you love more than trivia that makes everybody else look stupid because you're way into what you love?
So you're saying watch more movies to get more trivia? More personal trivia?
Yes.
Just that's it?
Well,
Endgame trivia?
Well, and yeah. and not necessarily in every movie, but I mean, when it comes to something you really care about, you know what I mean?
Then why not absorb more of it?
Yeah.
Fair. Explain to people why it wasn't good.
So then see the remake just so you can tell people why it sucks.
And try, well, and this is the more challenging and entertaining part, I try to find what I did like about it.
Whoa! Here we go. So rudely interrupted by Drew Sakagi, Mr. World.
I did get to finish.
Well, sorry, but it's time for some Drew Sakagi vs. World. Like I said at the top of the show, this is a listener submitted game. I got an email here from Justin Davis. I have a possible idea for a DCVTEW game. PG-13 movies are allowed 1. Non-sexual utterance of the word fuck.
Okay.
You could have Drew guess from a list of PG-13 films and try to guess which one of them used their F card. Love the show, Justin Davis. I have here.
Yeah. So you can say fuck you, but you can't say I want to fuck you.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
You can call someone a fuckhead.
Right.
You can't call him a motherfucker.
I want to fuck you in the pussy.
No, no. That's R-rated.
You can't say I want to fuck your head.
R-rated.
Oh, yeah.
R-rated. Like I said, Drew Sakagi just want to know. He won the one game we've done so far this year, so you got to go first. Drew, I don't even have him. I don't have him split up into groups. It's going to be pretty random. So here we go. You ready, Drew?
Sure.
I'm going to tell you the PG-13 movie. You tell me if they use the word fuck at any point. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy.
Yes.
That is correct. That is correct. Number two, Skyfall.
Yes.
That is correct. Use
damn.
Once.
I got that one wrong.
Number three, Inception.
No.
That is correct.
Ah, yes.
So far, I've gotten all these. Well, except for one. No.
Number four, The Dark Knight.
No.
That is correct. And finally, number five, Red Dawn from 1984, the original. Yes. Red Dawn.
Yes.
That is incorrect. They did not use the word fuck in the original.
I got that one wrong, too.
Red Dawn. So you got 4 out of 5. Etchy, you got to get all 5 right to win. You ready?
Okay.
All right. Was fuck used, yes or no? The Hunger Games.
No.
That is correct.
Yes, sir.
Fast 5.
Oh, Jesus. I didn't. I'm going to say yes.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Billy Madison.
No.
Ooh.
Oh, shit. What was it? Do you,
fuck you, Penguin.
Oh. Damn it. I even have that movie. I haven't watched it in years.
Number four, The Avengers. Excuse me. Disney's, Marvel's, The Avengers.
No.
That's correct. All right. If you get this right, you tie. Days of Thunder.
Yes.
That is correct. You guys have tied 4 out of 5 each.
Yay!
Time for a tiebreaker.
This is great. My honestly, like, I just wanted to not do terrible.
What you said.
That's all I ever want.
Yeah, so, like, I'm good.
Here you go. Take that piece of paper. Take that piece of paper.
Okay.
You got a pen or something over there, Drew?
I do not.
No, well, I have a permanent marker, but I don't know if it works.
All right, you guys can share that one. We're doing worldwide gross, closest to the pin. You guys tell me how much The Dark Knight made in international box office total, closest to the pin. Go ahead and write it down. Drew's going to write his down, and then if you don't mind, pass it over to Etchy. And give me your answer. Okay, Drew Cogburn's answer. Remember, this is international. Total worldwide.
By the way, I saw a lot of scribbling over there. Did you literally, like, make, like, every digit, like, different? Like, you, like, go very specific or something?
No,
you didn't.
No.
He wrote out the word. He wrote out the word.
Oh, okay.
Drew, I have a feeling. Did you not understand the question?
I don't care. I wrote down a number.
Okay. Dark Knight. How much did the Dark Knight make total?
You said international.
I meant, but then I said worldwide.
No, you said international.
I did. I can go back. I can go back and play. You hear me say it. I didn't say international, but I also said I meant like worldwide.
I was mistaken, too. Give us a new piece of paper.
I put down only international.
Yeah, so did I.
All right, you know what? Because that...
Don't say international if you don't mean international.
Easy fix, guys. Easy fix. Okay. You got that? You got that? And we're not doing a Dark Knight now. You got too much time to think about Dark Knight.
What? No.
Dark Knight Rises.
No,
how much is the Dark Knight?
No,
yes,
no.
This is my game.
Okay,
it's my game. How much did the Dark Knight Rises make in the total worldwide box office? That's international plus.
My number didn't even change because of that.
No, oh, okay. Well, that says a lot.
I'm sure you guys have seen him, by the way. You know, just while he's writing that down, the Heath Ledger is the Joker doing the kickflip. Over,
oh, I love that
Batman. Isn't it great?
It's a great picture.
I love
greatest
it.
Picture ever.
I love it. Like, I love, you know, behind the scenes joking around anyway. And that, like, it's not even the fact that it's Heath Ledger or that it, like, the actors don't matter. The movie doesn't matter. That's the coolest thing, activity wise, that I've seen, you know, actors do behind the scenes. I love it.
Definitely.
guys.
I also like that he can do
it. We're really awful
flip.
At this, aren't we?
No, you're just. The Dark Knight Rises has made total worldwide $1.084 billion.
Oh, I was initially going to put $1 billion. Damn it. That would have been pretty awesome.
I was off.
Yeah, you're off, Drew.
I was off.
You're both off by the exact same amount. You both guessed $800 million.
Exactly. Is there a double? Do we do
we
double?
We got to do a double tiebreaker round.
This is ridiculous.
This is the longest round of Drew Skyburn versus the world. We're gonna do another.
Awful.
I think both of those were good guesses.
Awful.
Obviously, they were good guesses because they were very close, and they were
actually.
Insane.
I should say both those were wrong. A good guess is what I should say.
Both very, very wrong.
Okay, guys. I mentioned Red Dawn from 1984.
Oh God!
They did a remake in 2012.
Okay.
How much did the remake make in just U.S. box office, Drewster? Just U.S. box office, closest to the pin. 2012 Red Dawn. Starring Thor.
Here, you go first. Oh, God. I don't remember that making much of a mark. That's another one, by the way. I never saw the original.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a fun movie.
Oh, shit.
Close to the pin. Here we go. All right. The answers are in. And they are different. Thank God.
Oh,
here
good.
We go. We're going to have a winner.
I was more concerned about that than the answer.
Drew guessed that Red Dawn made $40 million at the box office. Edgy guessed that it made $150 million at the box office. That's a hit. That's a certified hit.
I know. Yeah.
Your answer is Red Dawn made at the box office in 2012, $44 million. Drew Skyburn with the double tiebreaker round.
You know what it was? We did like, you know, global. So we're doing like a billion. We both did 800 million. And now we're just doing domestic.
Hey,
and I'm like,
domestic, I know.
It's
yeah.
I know some domestic box office.
Some domestic.
Well, that's the thing. So I'm like, okay, I go way down.
It's Drew Skyburn. This is Drew Skyburn versus the world. We're not trying to just give away victories to guests. Drew is earning these victories. Good job, Drew.
Make some more fun.
Although that was a good round, guys. Good job, both of you. Let's go back to Jerry's question and finish that real quick. So, I mean, the question is, should movies not be remade? You feel like, fuck it, just let them remake them. And if it's bad, just watch it.
Yeah.
And just collect that knowledge.
Or don't watch it. I mean, it's your choice.
Right, who gives a fuck? It's just a movie.
Yeah.
Drew, what do you think? Should movies even be remade? Are there certain movies that can't be remade?
Okay, so first off, you're talking about art.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
you are.
Yeah. Remaking art happens all day, every day.
Yeah. Whether it's explicit or not.
Song covers.
So let it happen. It's the way it is. Someone else is going to take your idea and fuck with it. It's the way it's been since the dawn of man.
It's your own interpretation.
It's nothing new.
Yeah.
Art is subjective. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen.
My favorite thing is when something like, you know, that for years they've been working on that Scarface, the new Scarface remake.
Scarface itself is a remake.
Scarface itself is a remake. Yeah, so people that
didn't
get
know
all
that.
Yeah, people that get all upset about what they're remaking Al Pacino Scarface blah blah, like, man,
Al Pacino was a remake.
Yeah, that was that movie was. Yeah.
There were people who thought about the one that you love, people were like, oh my God, why are they doing this?
Why are they remaking this Edward G. Robinson classic?
Exactly.
Into this cocaine-fueled crazy movie by Brian De Palma. Yep. And now they're saying the same thing? No, it's just, they're just movies, yo. It's like one day Citizen Kane's going to get remade. Someone's going to be like,
I'm
going to
blow my brains out.
Someone's
going to
be
happens.
Like, I can make a good version of The Godfather. I can do this. You know.
I mean, if anything,
you and Billy can make the greatest Gremlins movie of all
we'll
time.
We'll make a great Gremlins movie.
If Citizen Kane was ever remade, this I do have to say about it. It would be better.
Would it be?
Yes.
Yeah. Would it be?
I mean, really, all you need is color. Honestly,
would it
like,
even be worthwhile? Because Citizen Kane broke so many, it invented so many camera techniques that we take for granted. What are they going to do with the new? What's the point of a new Citizen Kane?
Well, see, that's just it. What is the point? Because I respect it for that. I have a film degree. That means I had to watch that goddamn movie 3 times in class, in different classes.
Uh-huh.
While people jerked off to it and pretended like it was the best thing ever. You do have to respect it for that. It was revolutionary.
Yeah.
It was revolutionary. It was not good.
He was put for the time. Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't. It was a boring story. It was everything about it was just bad, except for they were very innovative, unbelievable movie when it comes to like nobody had ever seen anything like that, to the point that it's so basic now that people don't even realize.
All those techniques have been adopted across the board.
If you don't tell somebody that and they watch the movie, fucking terrible.
They don't know.
It's a piece of shit.
Again, that's the whole, you have to observe your art through the lens of time. You have to know what you're looking at.
It's like Avatar. Ooh, technology! Shitty story.
And in 50 years from now, people will see Avatar and be like,
Citizen Kane is Avatar.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Drew, you got some there, movie review haikus that were submitted to the show?
Yes, I do, sir.
What do you got?
From Rage Against Twitter, Foxcatcher review haiku.
There we go.
Carell's excellent. Googled Foxcatcher after. Mm-hmm. Ruffalo kills 2.
There you go. There you go. You know about that one, Foxcatcher? That's the wrestling one, the Channing Tatum, Mark Ruffalo, Steve Carell.
No.
That's a pretty good one.
It's one of those things I'm kind of like you kind of struggle with where I don't give a shit about wrestling. I don't like it at all. But at the same time, and because of that, like The Wrestler, I never saw that.
Okay.
But the thing is, you kind of have to force yourself to see because apparently it doesn't matter if you like wrestling or not.
Yeah, it's not about the wrestling.
No.
It's not about it.
Exactly. That's not what it's about.
It's not like this Red Army movie that we saw, this documentary that's about Soviet era hockey. Yeah. It's not really about hockey.
It's not about hockey. No. But it's one of those things that, like, you know, you can be turned away from stuff like that where you go, no. It's a good story.
Right, yeah.
Just happens to surround a sport or passion you don't like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This is kind of the case.
Yeah.
Kind of the case there for sure.
So
it's not really about wrestling so much as about crazy relationship between a very rich person with no friends and someone who is looking for approval and a mentor, so to speak, then how that shit just went horribly wrong.
Yeah.
Horribly wrong.
And I'm guilty of that. I mean, there have been some good movies.
Everyone does that.
Everybody is, good movies about stuff that you're like, well, I don't like that. Well, that's go see it anyway. Yeah. It's not what it's about.
Yeah, trust me.
You know,
Trust on this one. You're going to like it.
Same thing with a boxing movie. I think it was called Cinderella Story.
The one with Russell Crowe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I happened to catch it on TV.
That was more of a Depression-era drama than it was a boxing story.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And actually, I like boxing a lot better than I like wrestling, but I don't like either one.
Right.
That wouldn't have turned me off to it, but it just happened I hadn't seen it. But it's a good example because I don't like boxing, but man, good movie.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, Ron
Same
Howard.
Thing with...
Ron Howard does good with the real-life stuff.
Yeah.
Like the Apollo 13s. And did you ever see... What's the one, the Rush? The racing one he just did with Thor... And
that
German guy, Daniel Brühl, that's a really entertaining movie.
Like the Indy 500 type racing, right?
Yeah, Formula One.
Yeah,
it was all Formula One.
Formula One, that's right.
Again, it's like, I don't give a fuck about racing. I don't care about this world or this story. I don't care about racers. But then when you watch the movie, it's like, this is a fascinating story.
Have you seen this? It's a movie called Without Limits.
Sounds familiar.
It's about Steve Prefontaine.
Oh, did that come out during the 90s at the same time as that Prefontaine movie with Jared Leto came out?
I believe it came out about the same time. Yeah.
Because I remember there being like two or three
Way better
Prefontaine
than that one. Dude, this Prefontaine, it beats all of them.
Yeah.
And again, it's like one of those things, like if you look at it, you're like, you know, dude, he was a runner? Who gives a shit?
Right.
No. Amazing story.
Just watch it.
So good. Even, you know, part of the story is, you know, his coach came up with Nike.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's the thing. Like, Steve Prefontaine and the rest of his team, like, the coach made their shoes.
Interesting.
And
that's kind of like how Gatorade started. It's like, oh, we got to find a way to hydrate our players.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, and then I guess it just picked up. It only shows the very early, but all I know is, you know, that became Nike.
Interesting. I did not know that at all.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing because it actually shows he was making the shoes, like, with the treads on the bottom and all that, on a waffling iron.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's genius.
great movie.
All right, Drew, you got another one there from Rage?
Yes, Birdman review, Haku.
Birdman, nice. All right, here we go.
Just Standing, Cock Out. Great performances by all. When Play and Real Merge.
Yeah, When Play and Real Merge, that's nice.
Very, have you guys seen that? Because nice.
I love
it. Oh, yeah, love
yes.
it.
His favorite movie of 2014.
Exactly. Nice, yep. Good, because I want to see it so bad, and I even saw it was playing at the Enzion.
Yeah.
And I was going to watch it then, and it just...
Leading up to the Oscars, it expanded, and it played at, like, the couple of AMCs and Regal around town, you know. It's on DVD by now, though. Redbox. For a buck and change...
I don't think so, is it?
Yeah, it is.
That's soon.
Yeah, for a buck and change, you can Redbox it, and even if you don't like it, it's worth a dollar and change.
Absolutely.
Such a weird movie. Yeah. So different, you know.
Well, that's what I like about it. Yeah, if, like, you know, when you get a movie from Redbox, if you don't like it, it's like, well...
Just make sure you return it in time.
Less than 24 hours, yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Droop.
Also, Nightcrawler review, Haiku, from Rage Against Twit.
Mm-hmm.
Understood subtext. Jill Lee Hall, Strange Psychopath. Movie is okay.
Wait, is that Nightcrawler, like, the serial killer?
No, Nightcrawler, the Jake Gyllenhaal movie, where he's... a guy who he gets into the underbelly, under the seedy world of crime video journalism, and recording like crash scenes and crimes and the scenes and stuff, and then selling that footage to news stations so they can play it on the news.
I'm thinking Night Stalker. Never mind.
Night Stalker. Yeah, that is the Ramirez.
With the hand.
I enjoyed Nightcrawler. I liked it quite a bit. I think it's really good.
Top five movie review, Haiku?
Top five. That one just came out on DVD. Chris Rock's new movie. I really enjoyed it. What does he say?
Cameo's crazy.
Yeah.
Interesting comments here. Fun movie. Good pace.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think I have a trivia question for you guys when this is done.
What do you got?
Oh, it's done.
Yes, sir. That is done.
Do either of you know anything about Ed Gein?
Which one is he?
Well, don't mention, you know, any things about it, but you know who he is.
Serial killer.
Drew?
No.
No. Okay, I'm just...
Jerry Manor played him in a movie.
Just,
I know that.
Just you, then. I would love them to come out with an Ed Gein movie.
They did. It's called Ed Gein, starring Jeremy Renner as Ed Gein.
I heard it was really awful, though.
It probably is.
Well, and the way it was, like, I've seen it in stores and stuff. I thought it was, like, a cheap documentary, like, not ever in theaters, not ever, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know.
Is it really, is Jeremy Renner?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the one. He definitely played Ed Gein in the movie. I don't know if that's the same one, because they made a bunch of movies about him.
Yeah.
But they're all...
This one was just called Ed Gein.
They're all low budget. There's no big budget version of his movie.
Couldn't they make, don't you think, a great Ed Gein movie?
Yeah, sure. I mean, any of those stories are, you know, Ted Bundy or...
He is.
They're all fascinating stories.
Well, he is the only one, by the way, that, you know, is not technically a serial killer. He only killed two people.
Oh, true. Okay.
Yeah. But anyway,
he's just an infamous killer.
Exactly. Yeah. There are three movies, major movies, that were inspired directly from Ed Gein. Do you know what they are?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
There you go.
Was the main one.
That's one.
I'm not sure what the other two are, but I know for sure it's like Chainsaw Massacre's one of them.
Silence of the Lambs.
Okay.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
And
Manhunter.
Psycho.
Right? Wouldn't that be? Oh, Psycho. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
How unbelievable! That's quite a resume.
That is pretty impressive.
You know,
to inspire so much art.
Yeah.
By being so horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, he loved his mom. He, you know, made suit. Not so much. He didn't make very many suits. He did, but he wore faces.
Yeah.
But he made furniture out of dead bodies. And the reason he wasn't a serial killer because he didn't kill most of his victims. He actually waited until they were freshly buried, dug them up, and used their skin. So
he was a grave robber. More.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But he was obsessed with his mother.
Creepy mother obsessed grave robber.
Yep.
Good to know. Good to know.
And well, he ate a lot of the part. Sorry.
No, I mean
meant for the you know Silence of the Lambs.
Obviously, the guy wasn't able to hold down a normal job. got some movie news here. We mentioned this in the past, but now it's even more confirmed. Dread 2 ain't happening.
It's a damn shame.
Oh, no.
Dread 1 was awesome.
Dread is great. Dread's a great movie.
Talk about the one with the guy from Lord of the Rings. What's his name?
Urban. Carl Urban. Keith Urban. Carl Urban.
Keith Urban. No, Keith Urban.
Keith Urban's a singer.
So he's Carl Urban.
Carl Urban.
Carl Urban. I like him.
The guy
who
was Bones in the Star Trek movie.
Yes.
That movie is a lot of fun. Really enjoyed it. But it didn't make any money on any platform. International,
I can kind of see why.
It's so good, though.
Such a great movie.
I liked it, but I still can see why.
Alex Garland, the writer and one of the pretty much the main creative force behind Dread, he gave this little quote here, this little tasty nugget. The Dread thing is a surprise. It's a really complicated set of emotions. I have a lot of regret about how things worked out with Dread, but it's very gratifying. The regret is you do a kind of transaction, particularly with the creators of it, which is that we want to do this thing and honor what you did and try to do it properly, and then the film will reward that trust, that act of faith and trust and decency, and I think that the film rewarded them in one sense, but not in another. I do believe it rewarded them creatively, unless they're lying to me about that, but I think that's created this thing of this movie. It has created this thing of this movie that fails. The story of Dread is that of a failed movie. Both times, for fuck's sake. And to be party to that, when that was exactly the intention, to not do that is kind of difficult. Yeah, because the first Judge Dread failed in the 90s.
It was awful.
And then the Dread from 2012, I think, was a box office failure, for sure.
Yeah.
They also put it out like in the middle of September. It's a terrible time to release a new movie.
Yeah, it is. Well, I think the feel of it, as far as I don't even I'm gonna describe this horribly, but the fact that they're like going into, it's not a compound, but it's like an apartment complex, but like with a huge courtyard, like indoors kind of thing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That staging, as far as like, you know, how that building is set up for him to have to go up, is very 80s in itself.
Oh yeah, throwbacky.
And I think that kind of, for a lot of people, especially if you're not, you know, like a movie aficionados or what have you, that it gives you that same feeling where you go, this was made like 30 years ago. Like, you know what I mean? It's not how movies are made today.
It's homage-y.
Yeah.
It's purposefully throwing
overly
back.
I think, homage-y. Yeah. And unfortunately, whether it's good or not, a lot of people, they can't accept that.
It'll throw them off.
Yeah.
It can be a throw off.
It threw me off a little bit.
Yeah. Speaking of throwback homage, they may not be making a Dread 2, but they're pushing forward with these Star Wars movies.
Of course they are. Star Wars.
They're making those babies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could make, you don't even have to try, and it doesn't matter.
They don't.
It's going to make a fortune.
But this guy is trying. J.J. Abrams, writing and directing Episode 7, coming out this December. Rian Johnson, who did Looper, is writing and directing Episode 8, and he's writing Episode 9. However, rumor du jour for Star Wars, J.J. Abrams will be back to direct Episode 9. Okay. That's how much Disney is enjoying what they've been getting footage-wise from Episode 7. They think he has a great grasp on it. They think he knows what he's doing.
The fact that he wrote it actually makes me feel a lot better. I think Lucas is a shitty writer. I think he sucks.
He's like many artists. He had his good stories in him. He's good movies. He cranked them out in the 70s, and he hasn't done anything.
Honestly.
Him behind the camera, he hasn't done anything good since then.
No.
Yeah, THX 1138 is a great. If I showed you that movie and told you this is from the guy who made American Graffiti and Star Wars, you wouldn't believe it. Because it's an art film compared to that. It's so out there and crazy and different.
I'm telling you, though, you are the first person that I've ever talked to that has seen that movie and thought it was good at all.
Because I'm the only person you talk to that knows the damn, dude. That's why. THX 1138 is great.
It's awesome. Yeah.
It's a great fucking movie. American Graffiti is good. Star Wars is good. He directed Star Wars.
Yeah.
He directed the one that kicked off the motherfucker. He did a great fucking job. He's a very classic style director.
His problem is
with the 90s, it was so long between him directing films and then, because he didn't do Empire or Return of the Jedi.
I didn't realize that.
He just produced them. Other people directed those.
I didn't realize that at all.
So then he's back behind the camera for the first time in over 20 years for Episode 1.
Awful.
And he's relying so much on all this digital technology that when you look back on it now, it's like, what were you thinking? This shit wasn't ready. It wasn't even close to ready.
To me, that was the one thing he had. He wrote that Star Wars trilogy, and like it was, you know, amazing, mm-hmm. and you know, just like one of the, you know, I don't know, best things ever.
Uh-huh.
And that's all he had in him.
But it's not. I mean,
by that point, yeah,
it was. Well, it was good, but I mean, just like any other great artist, he stole almost every idea he had from somewhere else.
Very openly, too. Very openly. His Star Wars movies are based on samurai films of the 30s and 40s, which then fed into the westerns of the 50s and 60s, like Magnificent Seven, Seven Samurai, all that shit. And then Indiana Jones that he co-created with Steven Spielberg is just, you know, we want to recreate the 1930s serials that we grew up watching and loving.
That's the other thing, too. People say the same thing when I bring that up with Star Wars and how that was all he was good for. You know,
then there's also...
What about Indiana Jones? He had way, way less to do with it than Steven Spielberg did. He was riding the coattails on that one.
No, I think they came up with the idea together. I think Indiana Jones, the character itself, was Lucas's idea. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Raiders of the Lost Ark is a Steven Spielberg movie.
Yeah.
Like, you look at all his other movies, you look at Raiders, that's fucking Spielberg.
If it was only Lucas, do you think it would have been a good movie?
That's a good question.
I think no.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Absolutely
if it would have been as good.
No.
Because at that point, it's only a couple years away from Star Wars, right? He was still making movies at that point. He was still hanging out on Francis Ford Coppola's set, mm-hmm. you know, and watching him work. You know, by that point, I don't think he had his head so far up his own ass like he did probably with the prequel movies where no one could tell him no. It's like Jar Jar Binks is a great idea. No one was like,
worst
no,
idea ever.
Don't do it. You know, at that time, well, I don't know, but Star Wars was such a huge hit. Maybe the merchandising made him so much money. You know,
that's what got his head up his ass.
Han Solo was supposed to die in Return of the Jedi. That was the original plan. Yep. He wasn't supposed to make it through. The reason they kept him alive, 100% money. George Lucas wanted to keep making Han Solo toys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, that's so sad.
Yeah, isn't it? So even by then,
now you've gotten ahead of your story. Yeah. Like it, you know.
Yep, and even by then, when they were making Return of the Jedi, it happened between Empire and Jedi that it became more about making money than making a cool movie.
Yeah,
and then it's
And I mean, that's probably where he got his ego. It had to be when he finished, because I know I've heard plenty of stories about how when they were filming it, mm-hmm. you know, when they were filming Star Wars, like it was such a huge project that like it, you know. Nobody in their right mind, especially since, you know, nobody knew as much of who he was beforehand.
You only had a couple movies at that point.
That point you have to go, oh my God, I bit off more than I could chew.
Yeah.
So it has to be once those films were released and how they that's when he's just, I can do whatever I want.
Oh, I can do this.
Yeah, I can do no wrong. Now that you're done with Star Wars, you can do no right.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently. But hey, now he sold it all off. He's
sitting
somewhere with all his money being super happy.
Think about
Skywalker Ranch.
Think about how many authors there are that were, you know, like wrote a book that was like a bestseller, like out of this world. Like everybody knows this book.
Yeah.
And that's all they ever write because they're done.
Yeah, it's hard.
He should have stopped.
Yeah, maybe.
In the 70s.
Maybe he should have. But he didn't. And we're getting more Star Wars anyway. Meanwhile. Speaking of directors, coming back to old properties, George Miller returning to the Mad Max universe.
Oh, that looks so much fun.
For the first time in forever, Mad Max, Fury Road, coming out this summer, May 15th. They just announced the rating, the MPAA rating for Mad Max.
Hard R.
They don't go into how hard the R is, but yes, Drew, Mad Max is rated R for intense sequences of violence throughout.
Yes.
And for disturbing images.
Well, yes. Yes. Well, there's lots of spikes and fire, so I can only assume that there's going to be dead bodies attached.
all those spikes and fire.
This is
heartening. This is good. Think about movies like that have all suffered the PG-13 fate.
Yeah.
Die Hard.
Yeah.
Expendables.
Yeah.
Total Recall.
Mm-hmm.
RoboCop.
Yes.
All these movies that get watered down so they can make more money, and then they end up all being shit.
Yeah.
Right? For once, someone's like, okay, you want to make this crazy big budget action movie for adults? We'll give you the money, and you can do it, and it can still be rated R. That happens rarely. That's why I love Bad Boys 2 so much.
Yeah.
You know? Because that's a big very budget, very expensive, movie. Very fucking rated R movie. This movie is not for fucking kids. It's for all you degenerate adults out there to enjoy. And it is
it's enjoyable.
It is glorious, and it's hatred.
Uh-huh.
It is a cinema of hate. It's a hate-filled, insane movie.
It is.
I think you actually end up making more with R, only because...
You can. It's possible.
Well, because
on the movie.
Kids that can't get in, like, they really want to see it.
Yeah.
Plus, with the way kids are, where it's like, if it's R, you're like, oh my God, that's extra, like, that's a good thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, if they can't get into a theater, they are going to buy the movie when it comes out.
Or they might...
I mean, not all of them.
I'd steal it.
What
I would do is I would buy a ticket for a movie that was, you know, PG, and then go walk into that R-rated theater.
Oh, yeah. I used to do that all the time.
Yeah. I never did that.
You never did that?
No.
Yeah, dude, I go buy a ticket for Dante Speaking, and I go see Donnie Brasco, bro. Come on, man. No one's going to go see Dante's Peak. Shout out to Pierce Brosnan. We all love Pierce Brosnan around here at Supercrest Bisa, but come on, fuck that movie, yo. I'd rather see Volcano with Tommy John. No, that's terrible.
Do you know what your first R-rated movie was?
In a theater?
Uh-huh.
Die Hard 2.
This guy remembers.
I know
Fire
that was too. That was right off. Mine was Speed.
Yeah. Speed. You know what? Might have been Speed.
Yeah.
It might have been Speed for me. What,
such a good movie.
What year was Speed?
95. 94. Either way, 94 or 95. I'm leaning towards 94.
What year was Die Hard with a Vengeance?
Oh God, I don't remember.
Right around
it
the
was.
Same
it
time.
Was later.
That
I
might
think,
have been 95. I think so. It might have been Speed.
Okay.
Might have been Speed, and then Die Hard with a Vengeance are the first R-rated movies I remember. First movie I remember seeing in a theater would be, I think, Brain Donors is the first one I remember being in the theater. The crazy comedy with John Turturro. Then after that, Batman.
Nice. There
you go. The original Tangent. Batman with Michael Keaton scared me as a kid.
Did it?
Yeah.
It's a dark movie. Like, literally, it's dark. It's very,
Tim Burton.
It's very, a lot of blacks, a lot of shadows.
Also, yeah.
A lot of creepy gothic stuff.
Yeah. It's Tim Burton. Also, like, as a kid, almost everything scared me. I was very easily scared.
Oh,
by
you were a scaredy cat?
Yeah.
No, sure. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
No, fair enough.
Which is weird because my sister was fearless, and now growing up, like, I can watch anything. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Everything scares her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I yearn to be scared by a movie again. It's been so long since a movie scared me. Like, I want that feeling of being
Event Horizon. Saw that in theaters, scared the crap out of me until the end. Until the very, very end, when I should have been the most scared, that it just was silly.
And the whole thing just falls apart
uh-huh.
like a bunch of shit.
Yep.
Michael Myers used to do it for me. Like, ooh.
Oh, yeah. See, Austin Powers was fucking freaky, man, with those teeth. He's like, yeah, baby. Not that Michael Myers, some other
different Michael Myers.
Different Michael Myers.
Yeah, let's take it to Wayne's World.
Party time. So does Romeo and Juliet. Story keeps popping up every few years.
Uh-huh.
I thought that the Leo and Claire Danes version.
I love that.
It was
loved
it.
It
was fantastic.
Baz Luhrmann's William Shakespeare's Romeo plus Juliet.
Yeah. Yes. And a lot of times too, like a lot of it, I think was like set design, like
the style.
None of the cars were real cars. Like they were all.
Styled.
Like custom, like
monstrosities.
Yeah,
everything.
Stuff that didn't even make sense.
Verona Beach instead of Venice Beach. It just made Venice Beach Verona Beach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
turned into a California beach town. Yeah, that's a crazy wild movie, and it shows why something like Romeo and Juliet has lasted.
Yeah,
all these centuries that they can transplant the very basic story, or even take the fucking dialogue straight up out of the play, Baz Luhrmann did, and the movie holds up. Right, the story.
Yeah,
holds up.
I saw it. What was it? When did that come out? 96?
Something like that.
I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so I mean, like, that would make me, like, I think I was, crap, I don't know, I was 14 or something.
Early teens.
Yeah, which usually.
You would think that.
With that type of dialogue.
Wouldn't be into a Shakespearean love story.
Yeah,
right?
But I understood it as I watched it, and I'd never read Romeo and Juliet before. Mm-hmm. I got the gist of what they were saying. Now, of all Shakespeare plays, Romeo and Juliet is by far the easiest to understand.
Yes. It's the most accessible.
Right. But still, as a on the younger end of teenage years, that should not... I mean, you know, when you're in class in freshman year and they played the older one from, like, was that the 70s?
You know what I'm talking about, right? So many versions of them.
Who knows?
Okay,
who knows which one you were shown?
And you just didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know? They really should have played that
one. Because the movie was boring as fuck, but the Baz Luhrmann one was awesome. Well, they're making a new one for the new generation. And like they do now for newer movies this year, there's a new a catchphrase, a new shorthand to describe the approach that they're taking to this film, which you're going to call Verona.
Okay.
And let me see if I can find the exact part where they describe it. Well, pretty much they say it's going to be, I don't even know how this works, but it's going to be... A 300 style version of Romeo and Juliet.
Okay.
Wait, what?
The only thing I don't like about that story.
Okay, so that means there's going to be a lot of ripped dudes wearing close to nothing.
In slow motion.
In slow motion and choke sex. There's going to be lots of choke
sex.
Hopefully
after that sequel, yeah, there'll be some choke
sex.
So? Yeah.
Romeo and Juliet. Did you see the 300 sequel?
No.
It's
oh my God, choke sex.
300 Rise of an Empire is like 300 minus the charisma, but with way
plus
more choke sex.
Huh.
Way more.
Okay.
Yeah.
And considering 300 had no choke sex,
yes.
way more choke sex. Way more. So yeah, Verona is the name of it. Joe Roth is, this guy's been around for a while. He's produced to Attach. And yeah, guys, 300 style.
Nice.
Romeo and Juliet's coming.
Sure.
Nice.
Now, they didn't say whether this movie is 300 style. We can only hope that it will be. But Joseph Gordon-Levitt is starring in a Fraggle Rock
movie. Hell yeah. Ooh! I love Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
And who doesn't love Fraggle Rock?
Yeah, exactly.
Watch Fraggle Rock.
Oh, yeah.
True.
I just want to know. So what? Is he going to be like the old man?
Like eating the tracks and shit?
Like eating the Fraggles and helping them out? Or... is he going to be downsized to go into Fraggle World?
It says here Joseph Gordon-Levitt will play Edward Snowden. Oh, wait, no. That's an Oliver Stone's upcoming thriller. Excuse me. Got this. I jumped ahead a little bit there. That's my bad. It doesn't say. Actually, this is interesting. Gordon-Levitt has been cast as Edward Snowden, Oliver Stone, Snowden. He's also starring in Robert Zemeckis' The Walk, which is the it's a fictional telling of the Man on Wire documentary.
Oh, okay,
What's his name? Philippe Petit?
Yeah, Philippe Petit.
And him doing the tightrope between the World Trade Center buildings? Yeah.
That was on Netflix for a while, and I didn't get to see it.
Oh,
I think it's gone now.
Is it gone now? It's good.
It's so great.
It'll be back. They always bring those back. So, yeah, he's playing Snowden, Philippe Petit, and then maybe, it doesn't say here who he's playing in Fraggle Rock, but maybe he's playing the old man, or maybe he's going to play one of the Fraggles. Or maybe he'll play
the Fraggle.
Or maybe they'll shrink him down and they'll give him some makeup and then he'll be surrounded by puppets. But he'll be live action.
And he'll eat the tracks that they built.
You need to stop smoking so much weed, Mr. Crespo.
I don't smoke anything. I don't know what you're talking about.
You have officially fried your brain.
I don't know what this guy's talking about. No idea.
Brain's fried.
No idea what you're talking about. So, remember, Drew, I mentioned a while ago, I wanted to drive to Daytona to go see that movie, A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night?
Yes.
There's this movie, actually, that in all Florida, like the closest it played here to Orlando was in Daytona, which is what, like an hour drive from here?
Yeah.
And I almost wanted to drive out there to see it. It's an
Iranian
a black and white
movie.
Iranian vampire film.
Whoa.
Produced by the guys who do Vice, by the way.
Yes, that's another thing.
I'll
be bringing up
Shane
in the
Black.
Story
What's
here.
What's his name? Shane something.
Shane Vice, I think his name is Shane Vice. This girl, lady, I don't know how old she is, Anna Lily Amapour. It was her first film. She's an Iranian lady, and it was her first movie. She made a vampire movie, black and white vampire movie that fucking people flipped out over at festivals. People loved it. They say it's super creepy and it's really well made, and they all loved her.
Mm-hmm.
That movie is going to be on the Netflix by the end of April. So
what's it called?
A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. Let me make sure I got that one.
What about that? Did you ever see that that one film with the girl? She was like a preteen. She was a vampire.
I love preteen movies. What are you talking about?
No, she's a vampire. God, what was it called?
Let the Right One In?
Yes!
Let the Right One In is fantastic.
Yeah, loved it.
That's a fantastic movie. They're making that into a TV show.
What?
Yeah.
They also made an American version of it. I forgot what it was.
Let Me In.
Yeah.
Which is okay.
Was it?
Yeah, it was good.
The original was better.
Oh,
the
so
original's
good.
Better, but yeah. Let Me In's still pretty good, though. It's,
oh, okay.
It's very moody, and it has Elias Koteas. I mean, I love Elias Koteas. But yeah, this movie's called A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. It's going to be on Netflix at the end of April. The day it comes out, I'm watching that shit. But she's already, based on the buzz behind that and based on how much people like it, she already has her next movie lined up. Her next film is called The Bad Batch, okay? It's being produced by Annapurna Pictures.
Ooh, they got some swing.
Annapurna's got, I mean, and then they're producing P.T. Anderson movies,
yeah.
Coen Brothers movies, Andrew Dominik movies. They have a great eye for talent. They produced her, right?
I mean,
I love Annapurna. They're amazing.
Yeah.
So they picked her up. Like, we want to do your next movie. We believe in you. It's a cannibal love story.
Okay.
A post-apocalyptic tale set in a Texas wasteland where a community of cannibals reside. It's described as a love story about a cannibal known as Miami Man and his food. So
sounds like Miami Man. It sounds like he's inspired by the bath salts guy.
The bath salts guy.
So it sounds like he eats people until he falls in love with one.
Until he falls in love with one of them. Yeah.
Hopefully not in the middle of it.
Miami Man's going to be played by Jason Momoa.
Okay.
Who's Aquaman and all the DC movies now. And he was Conan in the Conan remake and all that shit. Right? Yep. They just signed two more people to this cast. And now it's gone officially to Weirdoville with the casting. Very excited to see this movie now. We have Keanu Reeves.
Okay.
Playing a character called The Dream.
Okay.
And playing The Hermit will be Jim Carrey.
Ooh, I like it.
Interesting.
So Keanu Reeves and Jim Carrey and Jason Momoa as cannibals.
I like it. I'm in.
I think it sounds exciting. And yes, Drew. Not only is this being produced by Annapurna, but it's a co-production with Vice.
Yes. Because they did her first movie.
Vice's Shane Smith. Is that what you said?
No, I said Shane Black.
Shane Black. Shane Smith. Shane. And Eddie Moretti will executive produce. And this is the first time that they're producing with Annapurna on a film. They previously produced Spring Breakers.
Yep.
Grandmaster.
Yep.
And it says they also did her. I didn't realize that. So maybe it was them that did her and not Annapurna. Anyway.
Well, maybe. I
don't know. So I'm looking forward to that one very much. I think it's going to be a good one. The Bad Batch. All right. That brings us towards the end of the show. We got a couple of things here to finish up with. First off, it's time for the lightning round. Are you ready?
Ooh.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Lightning round time. Juicy Cogburn, start that lightning round clock. You ready?
Go.
Etchy. Number one, chicken soup for the soul or the stomach?
The stomach.
Number two, name four of the Three Stooges.
Curly, that's it. Shep. There's Shep. There was a guy named Shep.
That's close.
Larry Moe Curly Shemp.
Shemp with an M, Shemp.
Shemp, damn it.
Number three, cold winter nights or hot summer days?
Cold winter nights.
Number four, jazz, yay or nay?
Nay.
Number five, if you became a billionaire overnight, what would you buy?
A cruise ship.
All right, number six, when was the last time you swam in a pool?
Oh, geez, like a year ago.
Number seven, have you ever won a trophy?
Yes.
Okay. Number eight.
What's
under your bed?
A lot of dog hair.
All right, number nine, Drew, think of a number between 1 and 10. You got it?
Yes.
Etchy, guess his number.
Seven.
Is it six?
No, it was seven.
Oh. Yes! You're both incorrect. The answer was six. You're both incorrect. It's funny, though.
By both so close.
And finally, Etchy, number 10. Mm-hmm. Do you sing in the shower?
No.
Oh, okay. No singing for Etchy. Fair enough. That was your lightning round. Time for some swag baggery. You got three bags right there. You got the one, the green one with the dots, and then the pink one and the green one with the stripes. Pick one. Give it to Drew. Drew is going to break out the bag. Drew, Sir Cogburn, please.
All right, sir.
Let everyone know what Etchy gets to go home with today.
You get a Travel and Home Fun Magic Magnet Drawing Board.
Oh, my God. I just mentioned this on a podcast, like, on Thursday.
Some shitty Etch-a-Sketch ripoff.
Yeah, basically.
You're also the proud owner of Stretchy Color Putty. Super bright colors. Color of egg indicates putty color. Shape it.
Yeah, no, silly putty is too expensive,
I'm so going to use this.
You also get a can of Clover Valley cream of chicken condensed soup.
Got some soup there, buddy. Delicious soup. What else we got here?
We got you a copy of Treasure Hunt Date Movie Unrated.
Date Movie.
The
fantastic spoof.
I don't think I've seen that one.
We've got you a hardbound edition of the Marvel Zombies comic book.
Oh,
there you go. Hardbound.
I'm gonna be reading that.
Look at that. That ups the value of that bag.
The zombies
quite
scare
a bit.
Me more than any monster. That's why I love them.
A plethora of Cinema Crespedy stickers.
And some Cinema Crespedy stickers.
Especially the gold ones.
Now,
yes.
Now, Drew, if you don't mind packing up that bag. Etchy, you have a decision to make now, sir.
Uh-oh.
You have a decision. New guest, new studio, new rules. This is what we're doing.
Yes.
you see behind you, you see that white box over there, that red and white box sitting behind them over there?
With the red top?
With the red top?
Yes.
You have a decision, sir.
Okay.
You can take home all this wonderful swag, the comic book, the fake Etch-A-Sketch.
The condensed soup.
The knockoff Silly Putty, the date movie on DVD, the stickers. Take all that home right now. Or you put it back. And you take what's in the box.
If I choose this, because I love the stuff that's in here.
What's in the fucking box?
Do I get to see what's in the box?
No.
No.
Damn it.
You have to ask.
Show you the box. Who's in the box? What's in the box? What's in the fucking box?
So you got to choose. Do you want the swag bag?
Or do you want what's in the box?
What do you want what's in the box?
This might be disappointing for you guys, but I want the swag bag.
Oh, that's okay, fine. That's fine. Swag bag. Good job, Etchy. Good job. Hey, good job, sir.
I really want to know what's in that box.
Yeah.
Well, you'll know the next time when you choose the box.
You know,
if you choose the box.
I didn't think about this. This is my third time here. Every time I've come, it was a different place.
Yeah. You've been each studio.
Yep.
This is studio number 3.
Move around.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, they're tracking us, man. We can't let them fucking... They're always getting ready to swoop in.
Seriously.
Yeah. The shit, the revolutionary shit that we're saying on the show.
Oh, my God.
You know they're listening, and you know who they are.
Oh, yeah. And they're always trying to squash a revolution.
They are always trying to keep us under their thumb. Mm-hmm. But we won't take it.
No.
Nope.
Fuck no. Drusa Cogburn, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Etchy, thanks for coming on, man.
Had a wonderful time.
Everyone, check out Answer Pants on Rampant Radio.
Yes.
We will be back with episode 116 of Cinema Crest Media. So next week, remember, support R-rated movies and invest in junk bonds. Has that worked out for the big banks?
I'm also currently every Thursday on Ono Radio Show.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
There you go, people.
Yep.
So check that out as well. Thank you very much.